Pete, Wise said quietly, get the dish up and operating. Right. The cameraman ducked inside the van. There he selected Channel 6 again and used it to inform Atlanta that he was initiating a live feed from Beijing. People started showing up, most of them holding Bibles. This is Barry Wise in Beijing. We are outside the home of the Reverend Yu Fa An, the Baptist minister who died just 2 days ago. With me now is his widow, Yu Chun. As you can imagine, this is not a pleasant time for Mrs. Yu, but it is all the more unpleasant since the local police will not allow her to enter her own home. The house also served as the church for their small congregation, and as you can see, the congregation has come together to pray for their departed spiritual leader, the Reverend Yu Fa An. I've spoken with the senior police official here. He has orders not to admit anyone into the house. We are waiting for his lieutenant to arrive. Wise walked to where the widow was. Mrs. Yu, will you be taking your husband's body back to Taiwan for burial?
There will be no body. My husband, they take his body and burn it, and scatter the ashes in river.
What? They cremated his body without your permission?
Yes,
Chun gasped. And they're not even giving you the ashes to take home with you?
No. They scatter ashes in river, they tell me.
Well, was all Wise could manage. He wanted to say those barbarian cocksuckers. Even the differences in culture didn't explain this one away. It was then that the police lieutenant arrived.
What is this? He asked in Mandarin. I wish to enter my house. Why can't I go in my house?
Excuse me, I'm Barry Wise. I work for CNN. Do you speak English, sir?
Yes.
And you are?
I am Lieutenant Rong.
You could hardly have picked a better name, Wise thought. Lieutenant Rong, do you know the reason for your orders?
This house is a place of political activity which is ordered closed by the city government.
Political activity? But it's a private residence, a house, is it not?
It is a place of unauthorized political activity.
I see. Thank you, Lieutenant. Wise backed off and started talking directly to the camera while Mrs. Yu went to her fellow church members. The camera traced her to one particular member, a heavy-set person whose face proclaimed resolve of some sort. This one turned to the other parishioners and said something loud. Immediately they all opened their Bibles. The overweight one started reading a passage. Wise counted 34 people. That's when he turned to see Lieutenant Rong's face. It twisted into outrage. Clearly, the political activity for which the home had been declared off-limits was religious worship. Wen Zhang, a restaurateur, was leading the ad hoc service. Yu Chun headed over to him, and he reached out to put his arm around her shoulder. That was when she started weeping. Unknown to the news crew, Atlanta had put their feed on live, with voiceover commentary from CNN headquarters because they hadn't managed to get Barry Wise's attention. The members of the Chinese Politburo all had televisions in their offices, and CNN was for them a prime source of political intelligence. Fang Gan looked up from his desk to the TV. His English wasn't very good, and he called Ming into his office to translate.
What is being said?
Oh, they say that Yu's body was cremated and scattered, and so his widow has nothing to bury, and that explains her added grief.
What lunatic did that?
Fang wondered, and lifted his phone, calling for the Interior Minister.
Turn on your TV. You need to get control of this situation, but do so intelligently. This could be ruinous for us. The worst since those foolish students at Tiananmen Square.
It took another minute for Barry Wise to hear the voices from Atlanta on his earphone. Immediately, he started again to do his own on-the-scene commentary. Wise saw the police lieutenant talk into his portable radio. He came walking directly to the CNN reporter.
You must turn camera off.
Why?
Orders from police headquarters.
Oh? Where's the order?
What?
I cannot turn my camera off without a written order. It is a rule for my company. Do you have a written order?
No,
Rong said, suddenly nonplussed. And the order must be signed by a captain. It is a rule of my company.
Ah,
Rong managed to say. It was as if he'd walked headfirst into an invisible wall. He walked away, pulling out his radio to report. Then Rong came back.
Order come soon.
Lieutenant Rong went off again. He had instructions to carry out.
Trouble, Barry, Nichols said, turning the camera toward the cops.
I see it. Keep rolling, Wise replied, off mic. Then to Atlanta, something's going to happen here.
the police appear to have gotten an order from someone. As you just heard, they asked us to turn our camera off, and we managed to refuse the request until we get a written order from a superior police official, in keeping with CNN policy, Wise went on, knowing that someone in Beijing was watching this. The thing about communists, he knew, was that they were maniacally organized, and found a request in writing to be completely reasonable, however crazy it might appear to an outsider. The cops took out their batons and started heading toward the Baptists. They tracked Lieutenant Rong right up to Wen Zhang, where a verbal order was given and just as quickly rejected. The order was given again.
Diao Ren, Chao Ni Ma Di Bei,
the overweight Chinese shouted. Whatever the imprecation meant, it earned Wen a smashed cheekbone from Rong's baton. He fell to his knees, blood streaming onto the pages of his Bible. By this time, the other cops were moving in on the crowd, swinging their nightsticks at people who cringed but didn't run. Yu Chun was the first of them. She took the full force of a blow squarely in the face, which broke her nose and shot blood out as though from a garden sprinkler. It didn't take long. There were 34 parishioners and 12 cops. The policemen withdrew almost immediately as though to display their work to the camera. You getting this? Wise asked Atlanta. Blood and all, tell Nichols I owe him a beer. By the time Ben Goodley drove over to Langley for his morning briefing, the American intelligence community had pretty well diagnosed the problem. As Ryan said, the PRC had stepped very hard on the old crank with the golf shoes, and even they would soon feel the pain. This would prove to be a gross understatement. God damn it, Ben, POTUS snarled when Goodley came into the Oval Office. What do we know? Essentially, you've seen it all.
I've seen it too, Van Damme said, arriving, and we're getting a flood of responses from the public.
Fucking barbarians, Ryan swore as Robbie Jackson came in.
You can hang a big Roger on that one, Jack.
Damn, I know Pap's gonna see this too, and today's the day for him to do a memorial service at Jerry Patterson's church. It's going to be epic, Jack, epic.
And CNN's gonna be there? Bet your bippy.
Ryan turned to his chief of staff. I'm thinking I have to talk to the public about this. I'll say that America has trouble doing business with people who act in this way, that we have to reconsider all of our relations with the PRC.
Not bad, the chief of staff observed. The initial response will be outrage. If the Chinese have the good sense to make some kind of amends, then it'll settle down. If not, this whole business is a colossal loser for them, but I'm not sure they understand the implications of their actions.